ॐ जनचमलन्दस्य जनाञ्जनशलकय चक्षुसुमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं दीनबुद्धिले स्वयमुपगतमयं ददति सापदन्तिकम् वंशकौपतुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुवैव च पतितनं भगिनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Ketu Maharaj had heard the instructions of the soul who had returned to the body, the dead body of his son, and then had departed. And Chituketu had removed all lamentation from his heart because he knew, he understood, he realized that the soul, or the affection that he was feeling towards the soul within the body of his son, was true, but at the same time it was illusory, because the true part was that the affection was made, was given, was offered, it was natural to the soul who had inhabited his son's body. But it wasn't exactly to whom he was thinking was his son. That body was finished. The life had gone, the soul had departed. So his lamentation that his son had died was finished, because the life that had given life to his son's body had passed on to another body. Dhiras tatra namuyate. And he became very sober, dhira, unbewildered, namuyate. And he wanted more knowledge. And Narada Muni, the great powerful sage, gave him some mantras, some instructions, which contained transcendental knowledge within. Because once the lamentation, the illusion, was removed from his heart, then he was suitable to hear transcendental knowledge. And this was glorification of the Lord. Now these verses, text 18 through, in the sixth canto, 16th chapter, actually 19 through 25, will describe, not in intimate detail, but it will describe different characteristics of the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, Param Satyam, the Absolute Truth, and his relationship and characteristics, his relationship with many other things, with different realizations of that Absolute Truth, his relationship, the Absolute Truth's relationship with the living entity, the Absolute Truth's relationship with Brahman, the all-pervading effulgence of the Lord, the beingness of existence, the relationship between the Absolute Truth and the universe, the cosmos. And ultimately, we'll describe the Lord in the heart, and also ultimately that the Lord, that Supreme Absolute Truth, who is all-pervading, who is in everyone's heart, who is the cause of the cosmos, who is the giver of life in the form of the living entity in his vibhinans, his separated part, within everybody, that's an interesting expression, isn't it? We say, everybody should come here. How about every soul should come here along with everybody? Because if the bodies go without the souls, there'll be a graveyard. And the graveyard is the place where people are dying to get there. Not very funny, was it? Anyway. But everybody has a relationship, a natural relationship. The life within the body is a soul. So all this is going to be described in relationship to that absolute truth, who ultimately will be explained to be a person. Amazing. Wonderful. Achintya, inconceivable actually, that the all-pervading, the all-powerful, the cause of the cosmos, the unlimited, yet has a form and has characteristics, personal characteristics, qualities, personality, and yet he is unlimited. This is called achintya, inconceivable. Unless we accept that the Lord has a chintya shakti, inconceivable power, power beyond our finite, limited ability to understand, what is the meaning to him being the Lord, the God, the Supreme, the greatest? So a chintya shakti, inconceivable power that is beyond the comprehension of our limited ability with our intelligence and conceptual ability. So we'll hear these verses. The first one, 18 through 19, two actually. Om namastubhyam bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi pradumya anirudhaya namashankarshanaya cha Namo vijnanamatraya paramanandamutaye atmaramaya santaya nivritta dvaita dishtaye. This was the mantra that he was given him. These 6 or 7 verses are mantras that he recited and deeply entered into their meaning, their transcendental meaning, by meditating upon them. That's what Chitraketu will do after he receives these mantras, and he will become perfect and purified by doing so. So here is the first two mantras. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are addressed by the Omkar, Pranava Omkar. So when the sound vibration Om is intoned, it is actually addressing the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given very intimate meanings of the word Om, of the sound vibration Om. So unto that Lord I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Lord Vasudev, Vasudev means the all-pervading Lord, I meditate upon you. O Lord Prajumya, Lord Aniruddha, and Lord Shankarshan, I offer you my respectful obeisances. O reservoir of spiritual potency. These are all, he's addressing the Lord by different names in this mantra. Because the names of God, like God, the Creator, the Great Lord, Lord Maker, the all-powerful one, the omnipresent one, the omniscient one, he knows everything, he's all-controlling, he creates everything, the supreme. All these denote different qualities and characteristics that he has. These are called secondary names of the Lord because they denote his dealings with the material manifestation. But if he is the creator of the material manifestation, that means he is non-material, and that means he existed before the creation existed. And if he existed before the creation existed, what was he doing? Just looking at his watch, waiting? Is it time for the creation yet? Is it time for the creation? It's getting very boring. I should create something. No, nothing like that. There's a whole spiritual realm in which he interacts in so many of his different forms and manifestations. And although there are so many forms and manifestations of the Lord, there's still one Lord. I meditate upon you, O Lord Prajumna, Lord Aniruddha, and Lord Shankarshan. I offer you my respectful obeisances, O reservoir of spiritual potency. That means all the potencies are contained within him. O supreme bliss, Satchidananda Vigraha. His body, transcendental body, is composed of bliss knowledge and eternal existence. O supreme bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are self-sufficient. You don't need anything outside of yourself. We desire something. That means, when we desire something, that means that we are missing something. We lack something, and therefore we desire it. We want something outside of ourselves. We lack something, therefore we desire. But the Lord is self-sufficient. There's nothing outside of himself. You are self-sufficient and most peaceful, O ultimate truth, one without a second. One without a second means that no one is equal to him. His name is Asama Udha. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him. He is the absolute truth. You are realized. So there is so the Lord, the Supreme Lord, is beyond our conception, our ability to understand. But yet he can be realized in different ways according to how we approach him, the methodology of approaching him. So he is realized as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagawan. Brahman means the all-pervading, how nothing is separate from him, his form, his existence, that nothing is separate from the existence of the Lord, that is called Brahman. Paramatma, he is in everyone's heart. Parama Atma. Atma means self, and Parama means supreme. The supreme self. He gives life to the soul, even, practically speaking. And also, so if one tries to understand the supreme through his own abilities, he will understand that supreme as all-pervading. Basically, all one has to do is stop the mind. And then, by the grace of the Lord, he will allow us to realize him in his all-pervading aspect, like an ocean of existence, that is called Brahman. So if we use the power, our own power, to understand the Lord, we will see him as Brahman. And if we use the yogic power, the yogic system, to understand him, we will understand him as the super soul. And if we use devotion, not use devotion, but when we develop our devotion, and if we love him, he will reveal himself most completely as Bhagawan, the Supreme Person. Because he is so great, it is impossible for us to realize him fully. So we are limited, our realization is limited to what he reveals of himself. And depending upon how we approach him, he will reveal different aspects or elements of himself, characteristics, partially, more fully, and then completely. So therefore, you are realized as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagawan, and are therefore the reservoir of all knowledge. You contain all knowledge of yourself and everything. You are the source of that, O Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. We'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport, the last two paragraphs, which the Prabhupada's purport here, he goes over some of the different words that he used, the names of the Lord that are given. Because the Lord has a transcendental body that's full of bliss, because the Lord's body is full of knowledge, he always enjoys transcendental bliss. Indeed, his very form is Paramananda. What does Paramananda mean? Yeah. Huh? Parama means supreme, ananda, bliss. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Anandamayo Abhyasat. By nature, the Lord is Anandamaya, which means full of bliss, ananda. Whenever we see Krishna, He is always full of ananda in all circumstances. No one can make Him morose. Atmamaya, Atmaramaya. He does not need to search for external enjoyment because He is self-sufficient. Shantaya, He has no anxiety. One who has to seek pleasure from other sources is always full of anxiety. Why? Because we don't know if we're lacking something, and we don't know if we're going to get the pleasure that we so strongly need. It depends on others. Kamis, jnanis, and yogis are full of anxiety because they want something. But a devotee does not want anything. He is simply satisfied by the service of the Lord, who is fully blissful. Navritta dvaita dristaye, some more words used. In our conditioned life, our bodies have different parts. But although Krishna apparently has different bodily parts, we see pictures of Krishna, we see the deity, and he has hands and eyes and legs and ears. So he apparently has different bodily parts, but no part of his body is different from any other part. Krishna can see with his eyes, and Krishna can see without his eyes. Therefore, in the Sveta Svatara Upanishad, it is said, Pashyati Chakshu, he can see with his hands and legs. He does not need a particular bodily part to perform a particular action. Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vittimanti, he can do anything he desires with any part of his body, and therefore he is called Almighty, the Almighty Lord. Almighty, that means all-powerful, that means there's no limit to his power, that means just by desiring something it occurs. He can, all his limbs and bodily parts are interchangeable in function. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet he's a person. The next verse. So that verse, more or less, that mantra described that there's one absolute truth, but he's realized in different ways. But he's so wonderful, full of bliss. The second mantra, which will describe how we are not the Supreme Lord. It is popular to think that in so many different paths of self-realization, to think that we are the Lord. We are the Lord in the sense that we're qualitatively non-different from Him, just like the sun rays are non-different from the sun. But are we present everywhere? Are we all powerful? Are all our limbs interchangeable? Are we full of bliss? Are we self-sufficient? Are we never morose? Are we these things? Are we creating the universe? No. And someone who says, are we completely free? Are we in control of everything? No, certainly. Prabhupada once said, if someone says that they are free, it does not speak well for their sanity. One person said to Prabhupada, I'm free, a young boy. And Prabhupada said, are you free from getting old? No, how are we free then? These laws are forced upon us. That means we are controlled. We're controlled, that means something is controlling us. And if something is controlling us, it means we're not the supreme controller. And if we're not the supreme controller, how are we almighty? And if we're not almighty, how are we God? But we're part of God, a tiny part of God. And our business is to give ourselves to Him with great loving devotion. And a product of that loving devotion is service. And bhakti is called loving service. Perceiving your personal bliss, you are always transcendental to the waves of material nature. The waves of material nature wash over us, and sometimes we feel happy, sometimes we run and jump and skip, and sometimes we cry. This is the forces of the waves of material nature. But the Lord is free from that. And therefore, because you are transcendental beyond material nature, my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are the supreme controller of the senses. You are Rishikesh. You control your own senses, everyone's senses. And your expansions of form are unlimited. You have unlimited forms. You are the greatest, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Here is Prabhupada's purport. This verse analytically differentiates the living entity from the Supreme Lord. The form of the Lord and the form of the conditioned soul are different because the Lord is always blissful, whereas the conditioned soul is always under the threefold miseries of the material world. We have a dream of happiness. Dreaming that if I have this or push that away, I can be happy. Only if. Prabhupada called that a post-dated blank check. That someone offers us, I will give you a blank check that's post-dated, and we accept it thinking it's going to be worth something. And then, of course, it's canceled, and we get nothing. So our pleasure is only exists in the dream level in the material world. The anticipation of it, of that if I get this, then I will become happy. But practically in that is misery. And it means that we don't have the happiness. Hoping for it means that we don't have it. So the Lord is not like that, but we are tiny, insignificant. The Lord is always blissful, whereas the conditioned soul is always under the threefold miseries of the material world. The Supreme Lord is Satchitananda Vigraha. He derives Ananda bliss from his own self. The Lord's body is transcendental, spiritual. But because the conditioned soul has a material body, even though we are eternal souls, we have a temporary material body, he has many bodily and mental troubles. Whereas the Supreme Lord is always free from such dualities. The Lord is the supreme master of all the senses, whereas the conditioned soul is controlled by the senses. The Lord is the greatest, whereas the living entity is the smallest. He is Vibhu, we are Anu. The living entity is conditioned. Conditioned means controlled, overwhelmed, manipulated by the he's conditioned by the waves of material nature. I like that expression, the waves of material nature. They wash over us, forcing us into different moods and actions. We're being washed over by the waves, the very stringent, strict, powerful waves of material nature. And yet, in illusion, we think that we are very, very powerful in the center of everything. Just illusion. So the living entity is being washed over, is conditioned by the waves of material nature, but the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all actions and reactions. The expansions of the Supreme Lord's body are innumerable. There's innumerable forms of the Lord, yet there is one Lord. Adoitam achyutam anadim anantarupam. But the conditioned soul is limited to only one form. From history, we learn that a conditioned soul by mystic power can sometimes expand into eight forms, but the Lord's bodily expansions are unlimited. This means that the bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no beginning and no end, unlike the bodies of the of the living entities. What an amazing conception. That the body, The bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no beginning and no end. The form of the Lord has no beginning and an end, yet it's a form. When we conceive of a form, by definition, it has to have a beginning and an end. Because a form means it has specific characteristics. It's this tall, it's in this place, this color. So a form, by material calculation, limits something. If I'm here, if my body form is here, I'm not over there. So if we take the material conception, the limited conception, and apply it to the Lord, we would think that how could he possibly have a form? But yet, he has a form, but it's an unlimited form. Now can we conceive an unlimited form, and can we conceive of that? And the answer is no. So therefore he is achintya. And he has achintya shakti, inconceivable power. Bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no beginning and no end, unlike the bodies of the living entities. So, first mantra explains the wonderful qualities of the Lord, and that we as living entities should offer him our obeisance, our full respect, understanding that we are tiny and he is great. That second verse describes how the living entity is indeed tiny. And when we are independent from him, we cannot be happy. We are extinguished. Our true nature is extinguished. Just like a spark is extinguished when separated from the fire. Although we can't be truly separated from him in our consciousness, we can cut ourselves off from him. So yoga literally means to connect, to reconnect ourselves consciously with him through devotion. It's called bhakti yoga, through love. When we reconnect ourselves with the Supreme Lord through love and devotion, that is called bhakti yoga. And then we understand, he reveals himself, this inconceivably powerful, wonderful, loving, sweet person reveals himself to us. Third verse describes about Brahman, or the all-pervading aspect. The words and mind of the conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means no matter what we do by our own power, we are unable to understand or approach him. For no material names, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord. We cannot imagine, use our own powers in any way to understand him. The words and mind of the conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual, beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us. We cannot understand him, but through our own power, if we surrender to him, we can understand his Brahman feature. If we just give up with our mind trying to understand him and do nothing else and just pay attention to existence, we can understand something about his all-pervading feature. But it's a feature of that Supreme. It is not the last aspect. Just like the government has power, and its power is throughout the country, and it's all pervading in the country. But behind that power is a person, a president or a prime minister. So one may understand the person, understand there's a person behind it, but don't understand the nature, the personal qualities of that person. So there's three things. One is the power of the government. The other is the post behind it. That's like the Paramatma. And then ultimately there's the actual person, the personality behind the power and the position. And he has characteristics. And his children and his wife know him in a completely different way than the ordinary citizen knows that leader. So similarly, the most intimate devotees, the lovers of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan and the spiritual world, know him in such an intimate way. And the Bhagavatam will gradually reveal that. The most intimate understanding of the Lord. So intimate. Revealing everything from the depth of the heart of God. But before we are qualified to know that, we have to learn the power of him, that he's God, that we're tiny. We have to remove our illusions and material attachments and understand something about who he is, and different from us, that we are not. Otherwise, how can we surrender ourselves to him? So here he's saying, "My his pleasure, please protect us." This is what the mantra says. Brahman is your form, an aspect of you. As pots made completely of earth are situated on earth, and after being created are transformed into earth again when broken. The cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. So from Brahman, from the all-pervading spiritual aspect, comes the material cosmos. And as the example given, as a pot is situated on the earth, it comes from the earth, and when it's broken, it goes back into the earth. Similarly, everything in existence is situated on this aspect, this all-pervading aspect of the Lord, which is a feature of the person who is the absolute truth, Krishna. Let us offer him our respectful obeisances. 23. The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Brahman is everything and everywhere. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses, and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer him my respectful obeisances. We cannot understand that Supreme by our own power. Antir bahir avastita, although he is inside and outside of everything, he is beyond our ability to understand. That is Brahman. That is the feature of the Lord from which the material cosmos comes from. That the living entity is none different from in the sense that it is also spiritual, but yet tiny. That is called Brahman, and that is realized through the process of jnana, of knowledge. Now, there is a description of the Paramatma feature, and finally the last verse will describe the ultimate feature of the Lord, the personal feature. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind, and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. So as iron has to be in touch with fire to burn, similarly the body has to be in touch with the soul and the super soul to exhibit the properties of consciousness. And as soon as that, and Chitraketu has realized this already, as soon as the soul leaves, the body has no ability to act anymore. And the soul is together with the super soul and the heart. There are two. The soul and the super soul. The Atma, the self, who is us, and the Paramatma, the supreme self, the supreme Lord. Ishvara Savabhutanam Riddhishe Arjuna Tishtati Savasya Chaham Riddhi Sanavisto Matya Smirtir Gyanam Aponam Cha. That the Lord is in everyone's heart, along with the soul. And by His power, the consciousness works, our memory works or doesn't work. Matya smittim gyanam aponam cha. We get knowledge by His power. We cannot do anything independently. We think it is by my power that I'm thinking, that I'm intelligent, that I can figure this out, that I can run, that I have. But soon as that power can be withdrawn in a second, it's not us. It's given to us. Who is it? So if we have consciousness, And these things are given to us, that means the giver has more than us. So he is called the Paramatma, or we are the Atma. Prabhupada's purport. Red hot iron can burn, but it cannot burn the original fire. Therefore, the consciousness of the small particle of Brahman, that's the living entity, is fully dependent on the power of the supreme Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Matya smitam gyanam aponam cha. For me, the conditioned soul receives memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The power from activities comes from the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord withdraws this power, the conditioned soul no longer has energy with which to act through his various senses. The body includes 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, 5 active senses, and the mind. But actually, these are mere lumps of matter. For example, the brain is nothing but matter. But when electrified by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the brain can act, just as iron can burn when made red hot by the influence of fire. The brain can act when we are awake, or even when we are dreaming. But when we are fast asleep or unconscious, the brain is inactive. Since the brain is a lump of matter, it does not have independent power with which to act. It can act only when favored by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Brahman or Parabrahman. That is the way to understand how the Supreme Brahman, Krishna, is present everywhere, just as the sunshine is present because of the sun god in the sun globe. The Supreme Lord is called Rishikesh. He is the only conductor of the senses. Unless empowered by His energy, our senses cannot act. In other words, He is the only seer, the only worker, the only listener, and the only active principle or supreme controller. And by His seeing, we see. By His lifting power, we can lift. By His running power, our muscles work and we run. By His intelligence, our intelligence works. We are dependent fully. It's humbling, and therefore all these verses end with Namaste. We offer our respectful obeisances to this Lord because we are fully dependent on Him. He is great. We are tiny. We don't like to offer our obeisances to bow to anyone, but yet this is reality. We are tiny. We are insignificant. Ultimately, we are powerless. We are dependent. And we can understand that Supreme Lord in different levels, again, depending upon how we approach Him. And here's the final verse in these mantras or prayers. O transcendental Lord, who was situated... Now listen to this one carefully. Up till now there's been really nothing described, as a person hasn't been described. But now listen. O transcendental Lord, who was situated in the topmost planet of the spiritual world. What planet is that? Golok Vrindavan. Your 2 lotus feet are always massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bud hands. So he has feet. His lotus feet are massaged by devotees. So that means he has feet. Can an impersonal have feet and be massaged by devotees? And the topmost place? If we are ultimately one, there are no feet and there is no difference between the massager and the massagee. No, this is not what it's saying. Lotus feet massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bud hands. What's the quality of a lotus? Why are the hands compared to a lotus bud? Very soft. Yeah, lotus is kamala, though soft and pinkish. Very soft. And the Lord's lotus feet are very soft. And the devotees are massaging the Lord's lotus feet with their soft hands, which are like a lotus bud. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in six opulences. You are the Supreme Person mentioned in the Purusha Shukta prayers. You are the most perfect, self-realized master of all mystic power. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Prabhupada's purport to this verse. It is said that the Absolute Truth is one, but is manifest in different features as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagawan. The previous verses describe the Brahman and Paramatma features of the Absolute Truth. Now this prayer is offered in bhakti yoga, service, devotional service, to the Absolute Supreme Person. Words used in this regard are shakal satvata parivridha. The word satvata means devotees, and shakal means altogether. The devotees, who also have lotus feet, serve the lotus feet of the Lord with their lotus hands. The devotees may sometimes not be competent to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore the Lord is addressed as Parama Parameshtin. He is the Supreme Person, yet He is very kind to the devotees. No one is competent to serve the Lord, but even if a devotee is not competent, the merciful Lord accepts the humble attempt of the devotee. That means all we have to do is become devotees. And a devotee is one who has devotion. So that is the lack of devotion. But if we get some and offer whatever we have in a humble way to the Lord, whatever we have, then even if it is only a little bit, He will accept that out of His kindness. So those were the verses that Narada Muni taught Chitraketu, the mantras. Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who's narrating this to this past time to Maharaj Prakrit, continued. Narada, having become the spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. O King Prakrit, Narada then left with the great sage Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahmaloka. Now there's a purport there that we have time we'll read, but I'll just finish the section that we're going to read, the verses. Fasting, and then so Chitraketu took these mantras. Fasting and drinking only water, Chitraketu for 1 week continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantras given by Narada Muni. O King Prakrit, after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing this mantra, the mantra received from the spiritual master, 7 days, 1 week, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of the Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement and knowledge. So first thing, by chanting this, he achieved a very high planet. Not that he desired it, a material achievement, but he achieved it naturally as a byproduct of his devotional service without desiring it. Thereafter, within a very few days, by the influence of the mantra that Chitraketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress, and he attained shelter at the lotus feet of Anantadev. Upon reaching the shelter of Lord Shesha, Anantadev and Shesha, and Shankarshan, these are all names of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, upon reaching the shelter of Lord Shesha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chitraketu saw that he was as white as the white fibers of a lotus flower. He was dressed in bluish garments and adorned with a brilliantly glittering helmet, armlets, belt, and bangles. His face was smiling and his eyes were reddish. He was surrounded by such exalted liberated persons as Sanat Kumar. As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, he was cleansed of all material contamination and situated in his original Krishna consciousness, being completely purified. He became silent and grave, and because of love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes and his hair stood on end. With great devotion and love, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's short purport to that verse. The word tat-darshana dvasta samasta kilbisha from text 31 is very important in this verse. If one regularly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, one will gradually be disinfected of all material desires simply by visiting the temple and seeing the deity. When one is freed from all the results of sinful activities, one will be purified, and with a healthy mind, completely cleansed, he will increasingly make progress in Krishna consciousness. I'd like to read some of the purport of the text 29. A devotee's ultimate achievement is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in any one of the planets in the spiritual sky. As a result of rigid execution of devotional service, a devotee receives all material opulences if these are required. Otherwise, the devotee is not interested in material opulence, nor does the Supreme Lord award them. When a devotee is actually engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, his apparent material opulences are not material. They are all spiritual. For example, if a devotee spends money to construct a beautiful and costly temple, the construction is not material but spiritual. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Varagya Uchate. A devotee's mind is never diverted to the material side of the temple. The bricks, stone, and wood used in the construction of the temple are spiritual, just as the deity, although made of stone, is not stone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the more he can understand the elements of devotional service. Nothing in devotional service is material. Everything is spiritual. Consequently, a devotee is awarded so-called material opulence for spiritual advancement. This opulence is an aid to help the devotee advance towards the spiritual kingdom. Thus Maharaj Chitraketu remained in material opulence as a Vidyadharapati, master of the Vidyadharas, that's a higher living entity. And by executing devotional service, he became perfect within a very few days and returned home back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Shesha Ananta. So he, very interesting, although Prabhupada doesn't talk about it much, he was a Vidyadhara. He had achieved a particular opulent, subtle, or materially subtle, potent body. But yet he was back to Godhead. That means internally he was back to Godhead. While he had a material body. So externally he was like a demigod. And internally he was with the Lord. A kami's material opulence and a devotee's material opulence are not on the same level. Srila Madhvacharya comments in this way, and this is a Sanskrit verse. By worshipping Lord Vishnu, one can get whatever he desires. But a pure devotee never asks Lord Vishnu for any material profit. Instead, he serves Lord Vishnu without material desires and is therefore ultimately transferred to the spiritual kingdom. In this regard, Srila Varagava Acharya comments, Yateshtakatir ityarta. By worshipping Vishnu, a devotee gets whatever he likes. Maharaj Sutraketu wanted only to return home, back to Godhead, and therefore he achieved success in that way. Okay, we should stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.